It is baby animal season once again, and that means you need to write down the number for Wildwoods Rehabilitation. You need to put it in your wallet, in your car, by the phone, wherever, in your phone. You need to make sure that you've got the number for Wildwoods handy, because our mammal instincts don't always serve us the right way. Tara Smith of Wildwoods is on the phone with us this morning. Tara, you've got to alternate between frustration and being warmed at heart by the fact that people have really good intentions and really good instincts. But as mammals, as mammals, we don't always get it right, because some of the things that we really, really, really want to rescue are not mammals, and they don't get it. And then sometimes the way humans would care for an infant and the way wild moms care for their babies is just counterintuitive to us. Explain a little bit, would you?
Yes. Wild animals are definitely have different parenting skills than we have. And it kind of goes counter to what we think an infant needs. For instance, you know, we get a ton of calls this time of year about baby bunnies. Baby bunnies are everywhere right now. And people always call and say, I haven't seen a mom. There's no mom. And what people don't realize is that mother rabbits come to the nest at dusk and dawn. They feed their babies twice a day. And other than that, they leave them completely alone. Their presence at the nest will alert predators that there's babies there. So in order to keep their babies safe, they stay away from them except for these two feedings a day.
There's one thing, though, about mother rabbit's parenting that I've asked you about, and it turns out it is not a fluke. I mean, a lot of people have the experience. Mother rabbits have a genius for making their nest inside somebody's fence when they've got dogs.
Always. And people say, my neighbors don't have dogs, but they don't have rabbit nests. It's like, yep.
And
I don't know why.
if you want to avoid a tragedy, we've had those in our own family. If you want to avoid a tragedy, you're actually recommending a laundry basket over the babies until they're a little bit older, because the mom can get in and out through that basket, right?
Well, what we recommend is that you put the basket over the nest after the morning hours have passed. So you wake up in the morning, the sun is up, it's maybe 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Mom has already been there to feed her babies in the morning. So you put the laundry basket on, weight it down a little, and let your dogs out. You keep the basket on all day long, and then at the end of the day, before the sun goes down, you take the basket off and, you know, keep your dogs inside or on a leash, and the mom can come and feed them at night. So it works really well, and baby bunnies grow so incredibly fast. I mean, from birth till the time they leave the nest, it's really only like between 3 and 4 weeks. And by the time you find the nest, usually they're already halfway there. So it isn't a large, arduous commitment. It's usually about a week or so.
And that works so much better than trying to move them and being worried about it seems like moving them is what we would want to do. It's like, oh, this isn't safe, we should move them. But that's really complicated, and it doesn't usually work well.
It doesn't work at all. Bunny nests are they almost don't even look like, you can't recognize them. A lot of people will find them while raking. It'll look like just barely a patch of dry grass in the middle of your yard sometimes. And it's in a very shallow depression, and you just can't move them. It doesn't work. So, you know, it's really difficult to, you know, to deal with them other than, you know, letting them be. And sometimes we have people that are really not, you know, bunny-friendly people, and that's really difficult for us as well, because bunnies are so incredibly sensitive that in a rehabilitation scenario, they just don't do as well as they do with their moms. So we really try and encourage people to work, you know, to accommodate the nature that we all love in our backyards.
Now, we haven't gotten into fawn time yet. That's coming, you know, along in another month or so. But again, that's a situation where you're not going to see the mom. It's kind of the same exact thing, unless you actually witness, for example, you know, on a highway, mom being killed by a car, you're not going to see the mom.
Yes.
And yep, the idea
exactly
is to
right.
stay away. Do not rescue the fawns. Don't touch them. Don't
yes.
pick them up. Don't take them anywhere. Let them alone.
Yes. So there's a few rules that are kind of for fawns. If they're just laying quietly curled up, they are perfectly fine. If you hear them calling and calling and calling for an extended amount of time, there might be something going on. If they're cold, laying, you know, sprawled out on their side, if there seems to be a lot of insect activity, then for sure we need to, you know, do something. But if it's just laying quietly, that's what its job is to stay hidden. It's doing its job.
Now, we're not really necessarily at the point either where it's baby bird season, and baby birds are sometimes a challenge because part of their growing up is falling out of the nest, and it's hard to know when, you know, we can pick them up and gently set them back and when we ought to just let them alone.
Yes, yes, and that's, you know, thank goodness we're not quite there yet, but identifying when a baby bird needs to go back in its nest and when it's naturally fledged can be kind of difficult for people. But right off the bat, you know, if its eyes aren't open, if it, you know, has that really adorable baby bird scary look to it, you can definitely pick it up and put it back in the nest without any problems.
Birds don't have, for the most part, Laura Erickson has taught us, a sense of smell.
That's
so
right.
The idea that the mother will not recognize the baby bird because it smells
mm-hmm.
like a human is a mammal thing.
Yes. Yep. It's perfectly fine to put them back in the nest if you're able to. So, you know, it's, you know, it. Sometimes animals need a helping hand, and we're definitely there to guide people in the correct way to do that. You know, and right now also we have squirrels in trees, baby squirrels. We're getting a lot in here at Wildwoods because people are cutting down trees and doing trimming. And, you know, it might not seem like spring, but all of those big leaf bundles up in trees, they have babies in them. So, you know, we're asking people to really exercise caution when they're trimming trees right now. To, you know, we would love if they could wait until the first round of babies is up and gone. But, you know, if you know, really examine the trees. If for some reason a nest comes down, moms have a backup nest. And you can, you know, keep an eye on the nest on the ground, and more than likely the mom will come and pick them up and move them to the new nest. But we can definitely walk people through all of these scenarios because sometimes they're all just a little bit different and we like to handle them a little different.
Tara, one of the fascinating things that I learned and one of the reasons I'm really glad that I've got Wildwoods in my phone, I saw a skunk, and this was a couple of years ago. It was in September, actually, and he was out in the middle of the day and stumbling along in the road. And I thought, okay, he's got to go to Wildwoods. So I called Wildwoods, and it turned out that he didn't have rabies, although every single person who stopped as I was kind of guiding traffic around him until I could get some people there to help me said, oh, he's rabid. It's actually distemper. And distemper is something that is communicable to other animals and, of course, our domestic dogs.
Yes, and this is the third year that we've seen distemper cases. It's been running rampant, and we're still seeing cases. So having an animal that is typically nocturnal out in the daytime, and, I mean, that's definitely a sign of, you know, concern. Distemper and rabies can have some of the same similar symptoms, but chances are if you're seeing an animal in distress, that's it's typically raccoons, skunks, and gray foxes, it's more than likely distemper rather than rabies. But, of course, any sick animal, you need to exercise extreme caution because, you know, there is always a chance it could be rabies. But we have seen such a huge distemper outbreak that it's more likely to be distemper.
No.
And so if you live in the Northland and have a dog, I highly recommend everyone make sure their animals are vaccinated for distemper and everyone's up to date on it because it is highly communicable. And if you have one of these animals come through your backyard, you might not know it, but it's highly transmittable.
I am sure that there are people who would have thought, and I don't know if they would have been wrong, who might have run across the skunk and said, I'm just going to hit him because he's obviously sick. I'm going to hit him. I'm going to kill him. Is if you, you know, you see an animal like this and you say, okay, I'm just going to hit him and put him out of his misery. Is it possible that something else is going to scavenge those remains, though, and then end up with distemper?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we like to collect those animals whenever possible, just to get them out of the area because it's transmitted through bodily fluids. And if other animals come by and investigate, it can be spread further. So it's very important to report them. And actually, Stone River Wildlife Control is picking up distemper animals for the city. So if you have, you know, if you come across an animal that definitely seems like it needs help, you can either call us or call Stone River Wildlife Control directly. And he's been coming out and helping these animals.
So make sure, Tara, what's the number people need to dial into their phone and put into their phone right now?
Okay, so our number is 218-491-3604. And Stone River Wildlife Control is 218-269-0944.
All right, and we'll put those on our webpage so that folks can get those added to the phone. And also, while you're at it, maybe add the Wildwoods webpage. We'll get a link set up to that to your phone also because there's a lot of helpful information there about I found a baby, fill in the blank, and what the appropriate response is. So you can indulge your humanitarian instincts to do the right thing, and you can get information immediately before you've maybe accidentally done the wrong thing trying to help. Tara, thanks so much this morning for joining us. It's always a treat.
Thank you.
Tara Smith of Wildwoods Rehabilitation, our guest this morning here on Northland Morning.